And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and our theme in the second hour is shame, blame, and near fame. Each of my guests is discussing one of these topics. My first guest explores the final frontier, women as astronauts. She examined the career of 13 women who dared to show the right stuff, but who were washed out because of the times. We talked about the near fame experience of these women from her book, Almost Astronauts. My second guest examined overcoming a toxic emotion, that is shame. She describes an emotion that is born out of cultural attitudes and defines some groups as being better than others. We discussed bringing shame out of the closet. My next guest will answer the question, who do you blame when things go wrong? We'll discuss the hidden rules of credit and blame and how they determine our success or failure from his book titled The Blame Game. If you want to talk to my guest or if you have a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Ben Dattner is an organizational psychologist who has helped a wide variety of organizations become more successful by better understanding the impact of individual psychology and group dynamics on their performance. He received his Bachelor's of Arts from Psychology at Harvard College, and he got his MA and PhD in Industrial and Organizational Psychology from New York University, where he was a McCracken Fellow. Before graduate school, Ben worked at the Republic National Bank of New York for 3 years, and after graduate school, he was the Director of Human Resources at Blink.com before starting his own company, Dattner Consulting. Ben is an adjunct professor at New York University, where he teaches organizational development in Industrial and Organizational Psychology's MA program, and in the Graduate School of Arts and Sciences. Welcome to the show, Ben. How are you today?
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction.
Well, thank you for being my guest today. You are a thought leader, a Harvard graduate, a PhD, so glad to have you on board. At the heart of what you write about, credit and blame are rarely assigned in any kind of an objective or a fair manner. Individual psychology, team dynamics, corporate culture, all of that influence and are influenced by how credit and blame are given and received. So, what do we know about credit and blame on the individual level? What has your research told us about attribution theory?
Mm-hmm. What it tells us is that people tend to be self-serving. We tend to take more credit than others would assign to us, and we tend to deny blame when others would assign it to us. Because of our evolutionary history, because of our early life experiences, our socialization, our acculturation, we all tend to exhibit self-serving biases to overestimate our contributions. So, for example, if you have a team project with 10 people on the team and you ask each one of them, what percentage of the team's accomplishments or results did you contribute? People will say around 40 or 50%. And then if you add it all up, it's 500%, like the shares and the producers, more than 100%.
All right. Well, Ben, but isn't that just a reflection of the way that we're brought up? I mean, from ages 0 to 5, we're taught that we're the center of the universe. And really, the whole universe sort of revolves around us. And then we go through schooling and we learn that that just ain't so. But in reality, it really goes back to the way that we're brought up as children, doesn't it?
Very much so. And how parents credit or blame their kids is really an important way that kids learn and grow. And what I find in my work and what I talk about in the book is how we tend to reenact those early childhood dynamics in the workplace. So a boss becomes like a pseudo-parent from a psychological point of view, and or a coworker becomes a pseudo-sibling.
All right. Very interesting analogy. Now, we're talking to Ben Dattner, everybody, his book, The Blame Game. And obviously, you've applied all of this psychology to the workplace itself. So how does your research account for the behavior of the following types of CEOs? Tony Hayward of British Petroleum, about a year ago, we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of the oil spill. How does the blame, how does his behavior, how is that reflected in your teachings?
Well, it's funny that you mention him because I actually have an article in this month's Harvard Business Review that I co-wrote with Robert Hogan, who's based out of Tulsa, Hogan Assessment Systems. And we mention Tony Hayward as an example. We have three broad categories of dysfunctional leaders and dysfunctional colleagues. And those are extra punitive, where you blame other people excessively, impunitive, where you deny blame, and intrapunitive, where you tend to blame yourself too much. And Tony Hayward is a great example of somebody who's impunitive, who denied blame. And actually, interestingly, even before the BP oil spill, he had earned a nickname which reflected this tendency, and that was Teflon Tony.
Teflon, Tony. All right. Let me give you another CEO. That is Bob Nardelli. He was with GE, Chrysler, and then Home Depot. How does your theory apply to his behavior?
You know, I'm actually not that familiar with Nardelli. I've heard of him, but certainly know more about Hayward than about Nardelli.
All right. Well, then I picked a bad example.
That's okay. What have you
observed? Well, Bob Nardelli was the whiz kid at GE, grew up underneath Jack Welch, and Jack had very, very high hopes for the man. He left to go head up Chrysler for a while, and then Home Depot looked at him, figured he's got experience with General Electric, he's got experience in the automobile industry, he must be able to do a good job when it comes to home supplies and remodeling and that kind of stuff. So they brought him on board for that, and during his tenure, Home Depot lost market share to Lowe's. They really dropped in their category. Customer service dropped across the board, and then he left to join a venture capital firm, which, ironically enough, ended up reacquiring Chrysler. However, all of that being said, while he was at Home Depot, never really took any responsibility for what happened at Home Depot, and never said, you know, my shortcomings were that we didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve.
In the Harvard Business Review article, we also talk about your neighbor, Carly Fiorina, who people have been critical about her tendency to blame others.
Ah, another good example. Yes, former candidate for the state senate, for the Senate here. So let me switch gears and maybe go to something that you do know more about, Ben, and that is what influences do the following have an impact on credit and assigning blame as well? Family upbringing, we touched on that a little bit recently, just a moment ago. What does family upbringing have to do with how you accept credit or blame?
Well, it really depends. In different families, sometimes certain kids are favorites. You have the black sheep, you have the golden child, you have the prodigal son. Sometimes there are different standards for older kids or younger kids or boys versus girls. So people learn early on in the family what they're going to be credited for or blamed for. And there are a lot of differences in terms of birth order. Firstborns tend to be more academically inclined, more socially conservative. Youngerborns tend to seek credit for being witty or being creative.
Interesting. Now, you touched on gender. What impact does gender have on how one accepts blame or credit?
Well, the three types I mentioned, extrapunitive and impunitive and intrapunitive, men tend to be either extrapunitive, or more impunitive. Women, because of socialization and because of gender differences in our culture and society, tend to be more likely to be intrapunitive, to blame themselves. And gender, unfortunately, even though we'd like to think we're an equal opportunity society, still has a very big, and I believe, negative impact, which is that women receive less credit for the same work. They undercredit themselves. They've learned not to take too much credit. And they even go so far as to underestimate how much credit they're receiving from those they work with and for.
Interesting. Now, all of this has to be tempered by one's own individual psychology, one's own individual personality type. Mm-hmm. So what impact does that have on it? Say I'm an introvert and so forth. How does that impact how I either accept credit or blame?
Well, actually, the book and the website of the book is creditandblame.com. There's an entire chapter of the book devoted specifically to personality, and you're absolutely right to touch on introversion. People who are introverted have a harder time taking credit, claiming credit, and pushing to get credit in the workplace. And sometimes that can accrue to their benefit because other people don't see them as a threat and don't resent them. But sometimes you do have to toot your own horn and you do have to get the word out about what you've achieved. And again, getting back to gender, women often have a harder time doing that than men do.
All right. We're talking to Ben Dattner, everybody, author of the book, The Blame Game, How the Hidden Rules of Credit and Blame Determine Our Success or Failure. So back to that, and you know, how does blame, how do we accept blame, and how does the situational influence that we find ourselves in impact how we accept blame or how we accept credit on that? And I'm talking specifically now about interpersonal psychologies and the way which we interact with other people in the workplace.
Well, Chapter 4 of the book is entitled Situational Awareness. There's a brief summary of it, again, on the website at creditandblame.com. And what that's about is about how we all tend to overestimate the role of personality. We tend to think if our boss is blaming us or isn't crediting us, that he or she, it's because of some flaw in his or her character. But what I talk about in the book and present evidence for is that it's really more about team dynamic than organizational culture. When people are unfair creditors or undue blamers, others, that can have a contagious and negative effect throughout an entire company. So even if you view yourself to be a fair creditor or blamer, if you come into a toxic organizational culture, you might still have a tough time.
So there are lots of people, Ben, that are out there today that are looking for a new job, probably will jump ship as the economy gets a little bit stronger. How do you make an assessment when you are interviewing for a company whether your personal style of accepting credit and blame is going to fit in with that corporate culture that you just talked about?
Well, the first thing you can look at is what are their formal criteria, even on something as simple as a job description. What is it that they're looking for? What are the criteria? What kind of attributes, knowledge, skills, and abilities? And you can see sort of what questions they ask you in the interview. It's important to know yourself in addition to knowing the company. Are they asking you a lot about credit and blame? Do they ask you, for example, that cliched question, what are your greatest weaknesses, or describe a failure? You can tell that possibly it's the culture that's going to be looking for blame if they harp too much on that kind of question.
All right. But that's very interesting. If you're applying for, say, a sales job, where really it boils down to numbers, you know, did you produce the numbers? Did you not produce the numbers? How could you be a little bit more discriminating and find out what the culture values and what it doesn't value if you're applying for a sales job?
Well, something like 70 or 80% of jobs are still, even in this age of the internet and social media and stuff like that, still come through personal connections. So there's no substitute for getting the inside scuttlebutt from somebody who you know personally, who you trust, a trusted member of your professional network, who can give you the inside story about the culture. So you might want to talk to other people who've interviewed there, people who are currently working there, or even people who've worked there in the past.
Well, now that's interesting, Ben, because wouldn't you, if you knew somebody or were a fairly close acquaintance, close enough to ask them for a job or get some inside skinny on them, wouldn't you automatically know what kind of culture it was based on their personality?
Well, not necessarily. It depends on, you know, are they working in headquarters? Are they working in a subsidiary? How long have they been there? And do they feel like they fit in? You know, if they've only been there 6 months, they might not have really gotten their bearings yet.
Ah, okay, good point. We're talking to Ben Dattmer, everybody, the author of the book, The Blame Game. Let's try to put a little bit more positive spin on this, Ben, if we can. Give us some examples of ways that individuals and organizational leaders can at least increase the chances that credit and blame will be a positive force in their company, not necessarily a negative one.
Ursula Burns is a great example of that. She's the CEO of Xerox Corporation. She's the first African-American woman to lead a Fortune 50 company. And how the way she's described her success and her rise to the top is that she learned early in her career to share credit, to give other people credit for ideas, even her own ideas, to share credit with them. And that built a tremendous base of loyalty and also sets a really positive culture at Xerox.
Well, it does, and it's a major cultural shift because Xerox, prior to that, first of all, went through some tremendous financial difficulties, but they were very much an organization of corporate blame more than even credit, and individual superstars who took credit. So how did she manage to change the entire culture of Xerox Corporation to something that was a little bit kinder and more in keeping with her personal philosophy?
Well, I think it usually takes about 10 or even 20 years to fully change an organizational culture, and she only came online, I believe, as the CEO, I think, a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's a work in progress. But part of it is the substantive things leaders do in terms of what they credit or blame, and also the symbolic thing. So one thing she's really well known for is when the corporate jet lands back near headquarters, she drives her own car off the lot.
Oh, okay. So she's just a regular working stiff like the rest of the people.
That's right, and she even told the New York Times that she believes she got too much credit. She said, the story isn't me, the story is Xerox, and how do we all work together? She's not about getting personal glory, she's about making the company do better.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Ben Dattmer, everybody, author of The Blame Game, How Hidden Rules of Credit and Blame Determine Our Success or Failure. Ben, you wrote this book. What do you want readers to take away from reading The Blame Game?
What I want them to take away is a couple things. One is to take a step back, to be more mindful, to realize that the blame game can be painful for all of us when we don't get the credit we deserve or when we're unfairly blamed. But it's a little bit like the only real winning move in the blame game is not to play, is to focus on learning and growth, to cultivate your modesty and humility and the loyalty people feel towards you by sharing credit and by not being too quick to blame. It's very tempting in the short term to take a lot of credit, to blame others, or to deny blame. But over the long term, that's much more likely to lead to career derailment and other negative outcomes.
Very sage advice. Now, writing this book, what did you get out of writing the book, Ben?
I learned, first of all, when people ask me about the book, I say there's tons of credit in the index and the acknowledgments, et cetera. I mean, I really stood on the shoulders of giants in writing this book, and a lot of it is due to other people. For example, Robert Hogan, formerly from the University of Tulsa, who I wrote the Harvard Business School article that's in the April issue, which is all devoted to failure, organizational failures and career failures. Amy Edmondson at Harvard Business School, who did tremendous research about cultures, cultures of learning, cultures that embrace failure. So it really, it took a village to write this book.
It took a village. I love it. That's great. We've been talking to Ben Dantner, everybody, author of the book, The Blame Game, How the Hidden Rules of Credit and Blame Determine Our Success and Failure. Ben, if people are intrigued by this subject, and many people will be because they're listening to this in their offices, where would you direct them to go on the internet to learn more about you, to learn more about your book?
Thanks for asking. www.creditandblame.com.
Credit and blame. That's and spelled out A-N-D. It's not an ampersand.
That's correct.
Creditandblame.com. Ben, great book. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Ben. Take care.